Justice, O God, upon mine enemy. For the pain I suffer, may I see him suffer. For the anguish that is mine, so may I watch his agony. Thou art a just God, so God of justice, give to me vengeance.
So I prayed, as I had prayed every night for 3 weary years in my cave on Bartlemy's Island. Many a time during my long and lonely sojourn had I leapt from slumber, fancying I heard the sound of oars, or voices calling cheerily from beyond the reef, or even, and this the most painful of all, a wondrous sweet voice.
Oh, what?
Joan! Tamaris! Beloved!
Three years of solitude. 3 years since her that I loved returned to England with Adam Penfeather, the ship's hold full of Bartlemy's treasure. But I, believing there could be no place for me in England, had elected to stay behind.
My hand, Adam, and a prosperous voyage.
Oh, comrade. Be marooned in this desolation?
Aye.
Then till we meet again, Martin, farewell.
3 lonely years with naught to sustain me but the thought of vengeance. Vengeance on Sir Richard Brandon.
And Joanna's her name shall follow wherever you go. Till your black heart shall feel your own cursed steel. Black Bartlemy, Bartlemy, ho!
Martin Connersby's Vengeance. Geoffrey Farnall's novel, dramatized for radio by Michael Bartlett. With Stephen Pacey as Martin Connersby, Julia Swift as Joan Brandon, Sean Barrett as Adam Penfeather, John Moffat as Sir Richard Brandon, and Cyril Jenkins as Joanna. Martin Connersby's Vengeance.
Three lonely years. And then one day, I started up suddenly, every nerve a-tingling. Borne to me on the wind came the sharp report of a musket.
At last! Oh, thank God, at last!
I turned and ran to the edge of the cliff from whence I could see the beach. There, hard beyond the reef, a ship, her yards well back. A boat being rowed towards the beach, and on the beach itself, a young man.
Here! This way!
And seeing me, he flung himself at the cliff, while I hastily took hold of my muskets. And so comes the young stripling, clambering over the rampart, which I had long since built for my defense, and his pursuers hot on his trail. And seeing them advance, I called out to them, the first company I had seen for 3 years.
Halt, friends! Here is no harm for those who mean none!
But even as I spoke, the fugitive at my feet recovered his breath, snatched up one of my muskets, and fired. And one of his pursuers fell wounded in the dust, whereupon his companion seized hold of him and fled. I turned to see the young man at my side reach for another musket, but leaping on him as he fired, I knocked the muzzle up. At which the strange figure turned and leapt at me with an evil-looking knife. I caught his arm, and for all his slenderness, a mighty tussle we had before I contrived to twist the weapon from his grasp and flung him to the ground. Then, as I reached for the knife where it had fallen, he cried out to me.
Stay! Don't kill me! You cannot!
What?
And looking down where he lay, I saw that here was no man, but a young and comely woman.
Beast! You hurt me!
I stood, knife in hand, gazing down at her as she pulled off the close-fitting seaman's bonnet and shook down the abundant tresses of her hair.
Who are you?
One that hates you.
Are you wounded?
Bah, that's not my blood. 'Tis the blood of Sestiforo, the captain of yon ship.
How comes his blood on you?
'Twas when I killed him. He wearied me, as do all my lovers, soon or late.
And as I looked on this woman, the strange and sullen beauty of her as she sat combing her hair, and yet still foul with a dead man's blood, I sickened and turned from her in fear and loathing, and thus beheld the ship, her sails spread to the wind, standing out to sea. Thus I saw my deliverance fade from sight.
Who are you?
My name is Martin.
Are you alone?
I was.
And wish you were again. You are Englishman, yes?
I am.
My mother was English, but my father was a noble gentleman of Spain and governor of Santa Catalina. He was killed by that devil Tresedi.
What? Roger Tresedi of the Hook?
You know him, Signor Martino. He is your friend, yes?
I know him for a cursed pirate and murderer.
I am also a pirate, yes, and have used dagger and pistol here today and shall again.
And yet you're a woman.
Yes, and there's my curse. I am a woman, but my soul is a man's. So do I use all men to my purpose.
And yet you fled from those who followed you.
Bah! They were but drunken rogues that knew me not. I shall watch them die yet. Soon shall come Belvedere in the Happy Dispatch, or Rodriguez of the Vengeance. Meantime I bide here, and though I love Englishmen not, I love solitude less. So are you safe from me as long as we be solitary. Now, bring me where I may sleep.
And so, albeit mightily unwilling, I brought her into my cave. But I was minded to sleep elsewhere, and so began to collect such articles as I should want.
You go now to your woman, your light of love, yes?
This island is no woman but yourself.
Liar! What of this gown?
And in her hand was a tattered garment which had once belonged to her whom I loved, my most precious possession. And in my anger I stepped forward and snatched it from her.
Ah, 'tis for her sake you go clean-shaven, I think.
I tell you she is gone.
Gone, is she? And you alone here longing for her return through weeks and months and years.
Yes!
You love this woman. Do love her, dead or living, rotting bones or another delight. You love her yet, you miserable fool.
But at that I could take no more, and leaping forward, pinned her in a fierce grip and belabored her with the flat of my sword.
Hey, pull her! You rotting hell!
Until finally I flung her on my bed and, turning, strode out of the cave. I spent that night on the beach, but my slumber was an evil one, much haunted by visions of this woman, her beauty fouled and bloody. Until at last I waked in panic to behold the dawn and against the sun's growing splendor, the woman, standing and holding my pistols leveled at me as I lay.
Aha! Will he cower then, you beater of women?
Shoot, wanton, lest I beat you again for the vile, shameless thing you are.
Will he die then, yes?
Aye, so I might be quit of you.
Having no fear of dying.
'Tis overpast.
Liar, I can see you quake. You beat me, and for this you should die. But yet shall you live a while. Take your pistols. When I wish to kill you, I will. My steel shall take you in your sleep, or you shall die by poison.
With that, she turned on her heel and strode away, mighty proud and disdainful. I saw her no more that day, but on the following... I heard a voice, soft and rich and sweet, uplifted in song. And as I remembered when I last heard that song, I saw the woman coming towards me, tricked out in one of those fine gowns from Black Bartlemy's treasure, which had once been my lady's delight.
See now, Martino, I have lived here 2 days, and in that time you have never known my name. Although it is famous all along the main.
I don't wish to know it.
Then I will tell you. It is Joan.
Joan?
Sometimes known as Damaris. Poor lovelorn fool. There is no trick here. Those 2 names, which I now guess to be one, are written up everywhere with many lovesick mottos besides.
You dare profane that name?
Indeed I do. Though only a little, for my name is Joanna.
Joanna?
You have heard the name before, yes?
Yes, in a song.
Oh, verily. There is a fine Spanish dame, and Joanna's her name, shall follow wherever you go. And mark this, Martino, till your black heart shall feel your own cursed steel. Black bottle me ho.
Joanna.
Yes, I am that, Joanna, that some call La Culebra, and others Fighting Joe. And indeed, few men can match me at swordplay or with pistol. See, Martino, see that McCoy yonder? There. Am I not a goodly camarado for any brave fellow, yes?
I think your breeches do become you best.
You are no man. 'Tis no wonder your Joan Damaris fled away and left you.
But at this I could take no more. I sprang at her, expecting her to fight, but instead I had her all soft and pliant in my arms, and could not help but behold the tender, languorous beauty of her.
Ah, Martino, am I not better than a dream woman? I that men have died for. I, Joanna.
And with her arms about me and her pleading beauty before my eyes, I stooped to her embrace. But even as I did, chancing to lift my eyes seaward, I broke the clasp of those twining arms and leapt to my feet.
Martino!
For there, her rag of sail spread to the light-breathing air, was a boat standing in for the island. I was out on the reef waving my arms like any madman. But as the boat drew nearer, I saw that there was but one occupant, a man clad in Spanish half-armor and overcome with a great weariness.
Señor!
He was hollow-cheeked, and the boat very foul with blood, and about one leg was knotted a bloody scarf.
Señor, buenos días. Y bienvenido a esta isleta.
I thank you, sir. I fear I will not trouble you long. Could you bring me water?
I made haste to pull the boat ashore, and then I lifted him in my arms and brought him to the cool shade of the cave in Skeleton Cove.
Here, drink this.
Slowly, slowly.
Oh. Young sir, for your kind charity may the good saints bless you. 'Tis 3 nights since I drank it.
A shadow fell across us, and looking up, I beheld Joanna, one hand behind her back.
Oh, marvel of marvels. Don Federico, the hanging governor of Nombre de Dios, wafted hither by wind and tide to Joanna and judgment. I pray you, senor, how many of our company have you strung aloft since we last met?
I'm happy to inform the senorita Joanna that I've been so fortunate as to take and hang no less than 25 of her pirate fellowships since I last had the honor of meeting her. And now I think it is my turn to die.
Die, then.
And she whipped out a pistol from behind her, but as she leveled it, I struck up the weapon, and it exploded harmlessly in the air.
Oh, Martino, and you thwart me in this, and you shall die also!
And she was gone, leaving me with the wounded Spaniard.
Senor, you have saved my life for a little, doubtless for your own ends. But as I am to die, I would rather it were sooner.
You shall not die. You are safe now.
Nay, my death walks yonder in shapely form and fair seeming.
She might be fierce, yet she is but a young woman.
Senor, either you mock me or you do not know this woman. I have fought you English and been your prisoner. I have fought Indians. I have campaigned against buccaneers and pirates this many years. But never have I encountered a foe so desperate, so bold and cunning as this Joanna.
Throughout the following days, I nursed Don Federigo, and he ever patient and courteous. Thus it was that our fellowship grew as we spoke together.
I have seen the horrid cruelties of Lolo Noir, of the cold, merciless ferocity of Black Bartholomew, the deeds of Morgan, Tresade, the Belvedere, and many others. There was my son, scarce turned 18, tortured to death by Belvedere because he was my son.
So, what of vengeance?
Vengeance? Nay, Surely that is an empty thing. It cannot bring back that which we have lost.
Yet you hang these same rogues.
Truly I do, as you may crush a snake. Yet do you seek vengeance on a worm?
I do. I seek vengeance on him who was the ruin of our house and who sold me into slavery. It is vengeance I live for.
Then you live to a vain end, young sir. But I can see that you too have suffered and would be happy to be told the reason.
And thus it was that I told my tale to this courteous Spaniard. How as a young man I had been sold into slavery by my enemy, Sir Richard Brandon. How, after 5 years, I had escaped and come home to England seeking vengeance, only to find that my enemy had sailed to the Spanish Main and was lost. How I swore the blood brotherhood with Adam Penfeather, and sailed with him to seek Sir Richard, and on board his daughter, the Lady Joan Brandon. How Adam had defeated the pirates who would have taken our ship, but in that battle, how the Lady Joan and I had been cast adrift and ended up here, on Bartlemy's Island. How, in spite of the fact that I had sworn to kill her father, we had found solace in each other. She, who was also Damaris, my childhood sweetheart. How she had found Black Bartlemy's treasure, how I had been captured by pirates and she saved me. The coming of Adam Penfeather, and how, in my stubborn pride, I had let the Lady Joan return to England, leaving me here alone, and yet longing for her every day that passed. And finally, how, being denied love, I had returned to my first love, vengeance on him that had caused my life to be thus destroyed. And so at last I fell silent, looking out across the lagoon, where the moon laid its silvery path on the water.
And your enemy, senor, do you know where he now lies?
Aye, at Nombre de Dios, in the dungeons of the Inquisition, sir.
The Inquisition? Then, sir, if this be so indeed, rest you content, for God has surely avenged you, aye, to the very uttermost.
It was a few days later that, glancing seaward, as was my wont, I saw a speck that I knew for the topsails of a ship.
Heaven be praised!
What manner of ship is she?
She is yet too far to determine, but what matter?
True, Señor Martino. I am selfish.
How so?
Unless she be a ship of Spain, here is no friend to me. But I keep you. Go now, and make smoke plain to be seen, and may this ship bring you to freedom!
So off I went running, but reaching Deliverance Beach, I saw there was no need for a signal, since on the cliff above, a fire burned steadily, and beside the fire, Joanna gazing seawards. On came the ship, nearer and nearer, and now I could discern shroud and spar and rope, the guns that yawned from her side, and the people who crowded her decks.
Alas, senor, I know yon ship by her looks, and so does the señorita above us.
And glancing up, I saw Joanna signaling with her arm. And from the ship, mighty cheers arose, as up to the main fluttered an accursed flag, skull and bones. And in despair, I cast myself down on the sand. The ship swung to anchor, and a boat ground upon the beach, and at once Joanna was amongst the crowd, and the tumult rose. But I could wait no longer, and stepping forth from the rock, I strode down the beach.
Oh, is this your Englishman, Joe? What must we do with him? Shall he hang?
Mayhap, yes, when 'tis my whim.
Ah, Captain Belvedere, we meet again.
Tis the Marquess! Tis the bloody Marquess!
No, the dog!
Nay, hang him off!
High by his thumbs!
Oh, nay, let's burn him! To the fire with the bloody rogue!
But I noticed that although the crowd pushed forward, they eyed Joanna uncertainly.
He shall die, yes, but in proper fashion and at the proper time.
I say let him die now. Hang my comrade Jeremy, did, and so shall he.
And there's for you. Be thankful I spared your life. Go back to the boat and await my command.
Aye, but Joe, why delay when the end is certain?
Because I say so. And now, Belvedere, have my prisoners bound and taken aboard ship.
You know my rule, Joe. No prisoners aboard ship.
Save women, eh, Captain? Yeah.
So I say, let's kill them now.
You were ever a dull fool, my pretty man. Yeah. Even these rogues laugh at you, see?
And as Belvedere turned to scowl upon his fellows, Joanna deftly whisked the pistols from his belt.
I am Joanna. Oh, Madre de Dios. Where are your tongues now, Is there a man here who will not obey Joanna? No? Joanna that could kill any of you single-handed as she killed 54 of them. We will take Don Federigo to Nombre de Dios. Offer him for ransom, and when that is paid, he shall dangle from our yardarm. Thus, we achieve vengeance and money both.
Yay! And what of your big rogue, Joe?
Martino? Oh, la, la. He shall be my slave till he weary me. So, bring them along.
But perceiving that death itself were better than being on board that ship, I leapt forward and smote the nearest pirate. How long I fought, I know not. But they dragged me down at last, and I knew no more. I awoke, gasping to the shock of cold water, and was dimly aware of a deck underneath me and various people crowding about.
I say let's heave him overboard with his guts full of shot.
Stand back there. Let him lie.
We were saying, Captain, 'tis well enough to keep the Don to hang before Nombre, but why must this dog live and be cosseted?
Ask her. Ask Joanna. The cursed jade.
She'd be only a woman when all's said and done.
Nay, she's Joanna. And behind her do lie Tresady and Sol and Rory and Abnegation Mings and all the fellowship. So if she says he lives...
Lay now.
Here she comes.
Hola, Belvedere, Capitano. Start your preparations, for we sail with the flood tide. And take this slave Martin of mine and fasten him tight.
All right.
So while Belvedere stood muttering and gazing after her, two of the men grabbed me and shackled me to the deck.
What, messmate? Here comes one to lay alongside you a while.
Never in the world was a stranger creature to be seen. Gaunt and very lean was he, but the face that peered out from under his periwig lacked for an eye and was seared with scars in horrid fashion.
Old Resolution Day, mate of the Happy Dispatch.
I want no truck with you, and curse you for the pirate you are.
Oh, pirate, is it? Well, true enough, but there never was a pirate like me for holiness, especially on a Sunday. So I sing along a Davy. Oh, he wrote some lovely psalms, did Davy. Mind you the words. Blessed be the Lord, my strength that teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight.
Davy?
King David, comrade. A rare gift of words are Davy. And the Bible is a mighty fine book to fight by. To stir up a man for battle, murder, or sudden death.
You talk blasphemy.
Avast. Here's no blasphemy. I love this little Bible of mine. It is meat and drink to me. As for you, messmate, Joanna has chosen you. Be sensible to yourself and accept that, for your life will be the more comfortable for it.
Alone again. But in spite of the cruel shackles which held me, I was filled with a sudden joy, for I remembered that this ship was to sail to Nombre de Dios, where, secure in a dungeon against my coming, lay my hated foe and deadly enemy, Richard Brandon. It was several days later, with the wind strong in the rigging and the sea running high, that Resolution Day came to me again.
Now then, messmate, Joanna wants you.
Well, I want not her.
Be friendly, comrade, be friendly. She is sick with emotion and very womanly.
He undid my shackles and lifted me to my feet, and I was hustled aft to a gilded cabin.
Leave us, Resolution.
Aye, come.
Martino, I have sent for you because I am weak with my sickness.
And must I weep, therefore?
Oh, mercy of God. Oh, how the ship rolls. Oh, Martino, will you not spare me a single word to my comfort?
I have endured much at your hands.
But now I am begging you because I am sick and weak and a woman.
Aye, a woman with a choice of rogues to suit.
But you are cruel. Can you not forget past scores and strive to love me a little?
Nay, I have no mind for love.
By your lead, Captain. There's a fine ship to windward.
What? Stand by to go about. I am coming on deck.
And in an instant, she had turned from languorous woman to pirate captain. It was a little ship and slow, with only 6 guns visible as we closed with her. On her poop was a smallish man, and as I watched, another figure came to stand beside him. It was a woman, hooded and cloaked, and the crew saw her too, and a long, low hum rose from the decks.
Hold your fire, lads! No shooting! We want these ones alive!
I fell to my knees in passionate prayer.
Oh, there, messmate. I'm glad to see you at prayer.
I pray that this cursed ship shall be destroyed, and all who sail in her.
Why, no, it is a right unfriendly thing to be seeking, comrade. It is a vain prayer, too, for we... What's doing yonder?
Of a sudden, the little ship that had been so sluggish seemed to take on a new life and grew alive with men. In a flash, she had come about, and suddenly hidden gun ports opened all along her side, and a broadside was crashing into it.
By hooking! She was dragging a sea anchor!
Belvedere, come about before she fires again!
But he was already too late. Another broadside rang out, and now there were dead and dying men on the deck of the Happy Dispatch.
Lord God of battles! Close up thine ear and regard not the unseemly praying of this man, Martin, that has not the just point of view seen through glass darkly. Yonder lieth the enemy, Lord, thine and mine. Let them be rooted out and destroyed. Just a minute, Lord. That's no Spanish vessel.
And following where his finger pointed, a great joy welled up within me as I saw the English flag burst forth from her masthead.
English on a fighting ship. We must win clear as soon as may be.
Ah, so you would run then?
With might and main, friend. We are a pirate, you see. With all to lose and naught to gain. Ah, there goes our main topmast. We'll have to fight after all.
And so the desperate battle began. Then suddenly I was aware of Joanna beside me, her face ghastly pale.
Hola, Martino. Do you live yet? If we die today, we die together.
Wait, Jo. Are you hit indeed?
A little, yes. Death approaches us all.
Jo! Are you here, Jo? We must surrender or die.
Bah! Resolution, fight me this ship.
But what are we?
Bah!
But even as she spat at his feet, Belvedere's pistol roared, and with a scream, Joanna fell. But over her prostrate form leapt resolution, and he and Belvedere fought, blade to blade, as the smoke and din of battle raged about them.
Dying.
And beholding the agony in her eyes, I stooped to kiss her brow, but then felt 2 arms about me, vigorous and strong, and her quivering mouth was on mine. The sound broke our embrace, and of a sudden she leapt to her feet.
Resolution!
Then out of the swirling smoke limped Resolution Day.
Ah, Belvedere is dead.
Thoroughly, and a moist end he made of it. But you, Joanna, I thought you dead.
Nay, I screamed and dropped in time. But looky, Resolution, free Martino from his shackles.
Is it wise?
He can do us no harm, and if the battle goes against us, he may yet help me further.
And turning, she ran towards the poop deck, and I heard her calling and rallying the men.
Come on, lads! Captain Joe is here. Give the Englishman all you've got!
Thus it was throughout that long afternoon, as we fought yard to yard with the English ship, that I was free to roam the deck as I chose. But it became plain that while both ships were suffering prodigious damage, that the English ship was gaining the ascendant. And when our mainmast came tumbling down, I knew the end was not far off. And here I thought me of Don Federigo, imprisoned somewhere below. And so, turning, I plunged below decks to seek him out and free him. But I was not the first to reach him.
Greetings, Don Federigo. The ship's afire and is an ill thing to burn, and so I bring you kinder death.
Senorita is infinitely generous.
Off, murderers!
I struck at her pistol. She staggered backwards, hit her head against the doorpost, and fell unconscious at my feet.
Loose me, Senor Martino. We must get her aloft before the ship burns.
Yes,
she must not burn. And so saying, I stooped and picked her up in my arms and staggered along the passageway, until at last, blind with smoke and half-choked, I reeled out on deck and laid Joanna down. Turning, I thought at last I had gone truly mad. For there before me, hedged about with wild figures and brandished steel, was my beloved Damaris, my Joan, my dear lady.
Oh, deluding vision of sight long hoped for, why plague me now?
My beloved, fret not. Here is no vision, Martin.
Joan? Oh, Damaris, beloved.
Out towards me in the growing dark, I saw her hands reach down to me, and then those eager, willing hands were seized, and Joanna was between us on her knees.
Spare him, O lady. In mercy, spare my beloved. Kill me, and you will but spare this man of mine.
No. Joan. Oh, Damaris. My love.
But seeing the stricken agony of her look, and how she shrank from my touch, I uttered a great cry and fell forward into blessed oblivion. I awoke to the sight of a long rapier dangling from a chair back, and from that, as I came gradually to consciousness, my eye passed to the man who sat in the chair, a white-haired man whose ears were mighty strange, being trimmed and cut to points.
Adam. Adam Penfeather.
Why, Martin, are you awake at last?
'Twas you who fought the happy dispatch.
Aye, Martin, although I am a timid man, as you may remember.
And now, having recovered my senses, I gazed around the cabin and saw it was richly appointed in every respect.
Timid or no, you go vastly fine these days, I see.
Aye, Martin, I am greatly rich, and a baronet, owning many rich manors and countless broad acres. Thus all men do protest friendship for me, and some women, one of whom was set upon wedding my riches, and me along of them. But I, having no leaning to marriage, chose instead to fit out this ship and sail for the Spanish main, to sink, burn, and destroy such pirate vessels as I can bring to action.
So, your 3 years have been turned to better account than mine. I've naught to show but scars and rags.
Not so, Martin, for your fortune marched with mine. Lord love you, but I never bought a stick or stone or acre of land, save I bought one for you likewise. So if I am a man of possessions, then so are you, Martin. They sit in old England, awaiting your return.
God help me, Adam. What have these years made of me?
The same unlovely, honest, self-deluder that is my sworn comrade and blood brother, that I do love for his own sake and for the Lady Joan. She has often told me of your life together on Bartlemy's Island.
Has she so?
Aye. And she is aboard here with the express purpose of finding you. Which makes it all the more sad that you should forget her.
Forget her? I?
Why, surely, Martin, in the matter of the Lady Joanna.
That demon. She is the very devil.
Nay, she is a gentle Spanish lady, and I understand that you and she...
She lies!
Why? Very well.
Why, you doubt my word, Adam?
No, Martin, no. Save when I first clapped eyes on you, she chanced to be on your arms, you see.
Tush, that was nothing. But where is she, man? Do you have her under lock and key?
Why, no, there's no reason she shares a cabin with Milady Joan.
God forbid. Look, Adam, you know Roger Tresady of old, and Rory and Abnegation Mings, and others of the Brotherhood. But have you ever met the fiercest and bravest of them all? Have you heard tell of Captain Joe?
Aye, Martin, some young springer that has risen among them since my time. One that I would fain destroy.
Captain Joe lies in your power, Adam. Captain Joe is Joanna herself. 'Twas Joanna who commanded the happy dispatch so desperately.
The happy dispatch was captained by one Belvedere.
Ah, a man of straw! He would have run after your first broadside. Nay, 'twas Choanna and Resolution Day who fought the ship.
Now that name sticks in my memory. A man I loosed out of prison when we took Margarita. A tall, one-eyed man, scarred by the torment.
The same. But why waste time when that she-devil is loose and in the company of my lady?
But if she be a pirate, how came you in our company, Martin?
Hereupon, in feverish haste, I recounted much of what I have already told, and Adam heard me out with his chin in his hand.
And if you still doubt me, Adam, then summon Don Federigo, who knows her better than I.
Impossible, for he lies very close to death.
Later that day, I was on deck when I heard a step behind me, and turning, beheld my lady.
Joan, have you no word of greeting for me, beloved?
I rejoice to see you well again, Martin.
No word of love after all these years?
Martin! Oh, Martin!
Is your love for me dead, then?
Never that, Martin. But I have buried it deep within my heart, where it shall lie hid forever, since Joanna told me...
What did she tell you?
I have told my Lady Damaris everything, Martino.
What?
I have confessed our love. Was I wrong? And I have told her my joyous hope to be, ere long, the mother of your child.
No! Oh, shame! Oh, cursed liar!
Martin, if this be so indeed...
Dear my lady, if my love, Martino, has grown strange to me and forgot our love, then I will yield him to you.
Damned liar!
Nay, Martin, you shall not touch her. If you think not for me or for her, then think of the child.
There is no child!
Oh, Martino, stand back, Martin!
My Lady Brandon, God knows how I have loved you, but I now see it was time wasted. So, since you have buried your love, so do I tear mine from me. Henceforth, I am no more than an instrument of vengeance.
Martin! Oh, dear Martin, for the love of God!
But in my pride, I turned my back upon my noble lady and stumbled below. In the great cabin, I found Adam Penfeather, and before him, Resolution Day, in chains.
Well, now, comrade, you see me brought somewhat low, and yet soon to be exalted. On the gallows, you see.
Adam, I would have you show mercy to this man. He was kind to me in his way.
Mercy? Here stands a notable pirate. So must he surely die, along with Captain Joe.
At the mention of her name, I saw Resolution's shackled hands clench tight. Then he laughed.
Done, Captain Joe. Your knees must catch him first.
We have her. 'Tis Joanna.
Nay, friend, Joanna is your light of love. We found you and her alone on an island.
Resolution, you lie.
Resolution Day. Have you a memory for faces?
Captain Adam Penfeather of the Brotherhood.
The same. So, Resolution Day, I warn you to prepare to make your final exodus with Captain Joe at sunset.
To hang, to die. She's so young.
Take him away.
All I ever had to love.
Adam, how far are we from Nombre de Dios?
Some 150 miles, maybe a little less.
Why then give me a boat? You cast me adrift once, well, do so again.
And what of my Lady Joan?
It is no matter. Only I do not stay on this ship another hour.
Lord, save me from love and from lovers.
Give me a boat and a course to steer for Nombre de Dios.
It is said that Sir Richard Brandon lies imprisoned there. Oh, very well, Martin. You shall have your boat and your course. But we shall have to wait until dark.
The moon had not yet risen when I stepped forth into the stern gallery of the ship.
Martin, listen to me. Give up this desperate quest.
Nay, my mind is set, Adam. What of you? When will you reach Nombre de Dios?
Just as soon as I have this ship in staunch fighting trim. For unless you and your vengeance are before me, I will have Sir Richard Brandon out of the bloody clutches of the Inquisition, though it cost me all I possess.
Well, then, we are like to meet at Nombre de Dios.
Mayhap, Martin. Who can say? Meanwhile, If I have been forced to play a prank on you now and again, think as kindly of me as you can. Now, here in this letter is all you need. Farewell, comrade.
We clasped hands, and then I clambered down into the little boat and was soon adrift. For a while I huddled in the bows, watching the lofty stern of Adam's ship as it vanished into the night. At last I turned, meaning to step the mast, but I saw that the sail was lying ill-stowed, and as I stared at it, it lifted.
Yes! Yes! Gentle does it, comrade.
And as I was dragged from my feet by two powerful arms, I found myself looking into the hated face of Joanna. I awoke to a blaze of sun, and stark against this splendor was the grim figure of Resolution Day, one hand on the tiller, the other upon the worn Bible open upon his knees, while hard beside me on the floor of the boat lay Joanna, fast asleep.
Ah, Martin, welcome aboard, shipmate.
Did Captain Penfeather know you were hid in this boat?
'Twas himself sent us here.
At that, I remembered the letter Adam had given me, and taking it from my pocket, broke the seals.
Dear comrade and brother, you were ever a fool, and yet I bid you farewell in the sure hope that I shall find thee again, mayhap somewhat wiser. Herein you shall find a chart with a course marked and numbered deals. But should we fail to meet there, I give you as a rendezvous the place which I have clearly marked on the chart with an X. And so, to your vengeance, Martin, and, when found, much good may it do you. Your patient, hopeful friend, Adam.
Lucky friend, you spoke for my life of Captain Penfeather. So now I am your friend henceforth against all the world, except in Joanna.
Where do we make for, Resolution?
To a little island well known to the Brotherhood, comrade, where we might find good store of food and the like.
And with that information, I had to be content, until at last I looked up and saw Joanna was awake and watching me.
Thee grieve for your John Damaris, yes?
Nay, what avail?
Then I do, from my heart, Martino. For she had faith in me and was kind to me. But now I have you to myself at last, and no shall part us save death. And that but for a short while.
But I would not respond to her, and she fell to discussing winds, tides, and weather with Resolution. And so we sailed for a day and night, and then at last we sighted the island, more lonely and still smaller than Bartlemy's Island.
Stand by to let go of the halyard and ship oars when I give the word, amigo.
So, with myself at the oars and Resolution steering, we crept in between the rocks to a shelving sandy beach, and at Resolution's gesture, I bent to Joanna, still suffering from her wound, and lifted her in my arms to bear her ashore.
Here do I rest for the second time, Martino. I wonder when the third shall be.
Does your wound still pain you?
A little, Martino.
Show me.
Mutely, she suffered me to uncover her arm, and I saw the tender flesh was very angry and inflamed. Resolution brought what medicines we had, and I set myself to soothe this painful wound as gently as I might.
She has a bad fever, comrade.
Aye, she needs rest and sleep. And so for some days I tended her, and she mended apace. But as for me, with every hour my impatience to be gone grew beyond all measure. One night, the weather being very hot, I could not sleep, and so came to the beach, where my gaze fell upon the boat drawn up on the sands.
Ah, I've been expecting this and watched accordingly. So you'll steal the boat, would you, and leave us marooned here?
I haven't decided.
Resolution, what is it?
He was for stealing the boat, Joe.
Is this true?
But seeing speech was vain, I shook my head, and turning my back on them, returned to my cave.
Bide there, Resolution. I would talk with you a small while, Martino.
Speak, if you will.
You do not love me, then, no?
No.
You could not endure me beside you, to live with me near you?
No.
Then go, I am not base enough to weep and scheme for something that can never truly be mine. So go. The boat lies yonder. Take her. Only get you gone.
Joanna, hear me say that wheresoever I go, needs must I respect you.
Respect me? Oh, cannot you see how you hurt me?
And suddenly, seeing her there, a deathly pallor on her face, I caught her in my arms, scarce knowing what I did, and kissed her hair, her eyes, and her cold lips. Then, half ashamed, turned to leave her.
Martino! Stay! Go!
I heeded her not and stepped into the moonlight. But as I did so, I heard her feet behind me, and then her arms were round me, sweeping me aside as she leapt in front of me. And I leapt forward to catch her and saw the blood on her breast.
Here do I lie in your arms for the third time, Martino. And this shall be the last.
What is it? Oh, God, what?
Someone has shot Joanna.
Aye, Martin, it was I. I shot her thinking it was you.
My resolution, you did right. 'Twas only that I, being a woman, changed my mind at the last. 'Twas I bid him kill you, Martino, if you came out of the cave. But I dreamed you would not leave me. Nay, let me be resolution. I am dying, yes.
Oh, God, mercy, spare her.
Martino, when you shall wed your Joan Damaris, say I gave you to her with my life, because I loved you better than life, and death has no fears.
I will tell her.
Kiss me, Martino. Kiss me this last time.
And so I kissed her, and thereafter she lay silent a while, looking up at me, great-eyed.
Oh, 'tis coming, Martino. Lift me. Let me die upon my feet.
Very tenderly we lifted her between us, and then suddenly,
oh,
with a soft cry, she lifted her arms to heaven, and then with a sigh, collapsed in our arms.
Oh, dead. Oh, God. Dead. And by my hand. I that loved her all her days, I would have died for her. Smite me, O merciful God. Shoot forth thine arrows and consume me.
Come, resolution. We needs must bury her.
Aye. Lift her up, comrade. Hold her to your heart.
And so we buried her in the golden sand, well above the point where the sea might break. Come, resolution. Come away.
Where away, amigo? Nay, I'm best here. Mayhap she'll be a little lonesome at least. Go your ways, brother, and leave old resolution to pray a little, and perhaps weep a little, if God be kind.
And so I left him crouched there, and returned to my cave, where I saw the sand all trampled and stained with the blood she had shed to save mine. And I was suddenly seized by scorching tears. But even as I wept, I heard the shot, and it seemed to echo and re-echo in my brain, as turning, I began to run back whence I had come. And so I found resolution face down across the mound that marked Joanna's grave, his arms clasped about it. Next day, as the sun rose, I buried resolution betwixt Joanna and the sea. Thereafter, I stored the boat with food and drink, and so set forth on my lonely voyage. And as the island dipped below the horizon, I turned my face to the west and faced the future.
Justice! Oh God, upon mine enemy! For the pain I have suffered, so may I see him suffer. Thou art a just God. So, God of justice, give me vengeance!
Tell
10 days later, my water being nigh exhausted, I spied a smudge on the horizon that I knew to be the Spanish Main. I made my landfall in a small creek roofed with vines and tangled boughs, and taking only necessities with me, I set off to struggle through the undergrowth, often having to cut my way with my axe. The next day, towards evening, I came out onto a broad track, and there, exhausted by the journey, fell into instant slumber. I awoke to a kick in my side to find myself surrounded by a group of men all armed. I was hauled to my feet, my arms bound, and herded forward until I became aware of a dim street and tall buildings. Then, out of the gloom, came a solitary figure in front of whom my captors knelt.
¿Quién es?
Un inglés, padre.
Vengan ustedes aquí.
And turning, he entered a building, and my captors dragged me after him. He seated himself at a table.
Vaya!
And my captors melted away into the darkness. I heard a stealthy rustling, and various figures closed silently around me, figures shrouded from head to foot in black habits, and whose eyes glittered at me through holes in their black enveloping hoods.
You are English, senor.
I am.
What do you hear?
I seek another Englishman, Sir Richard Brandon, known to be a prisoner of the Inquisition of Nombre de Dios.
Are you of the faith?
Of all and any, save that of Rome.
Oh, tongue of blasphemy damned. Since you by the flesh have sinned, so by the flesh, its pains and travail, must your soul win forgiveness and life hereafter. The Holy Church, in its infinite mercy, must lay on your evil flesh such castigation.
What is this, Father Alexo?
An Englishman, captured and brought hither, Your Excellency.
And as the hooded figures moved aside, I beheld, to my surprise and inexpressible joy, the figure of Don Federico, clad in rich habit. His eyes met mine and held no sign of recognition, whereupon I checked the greeting on my lips.
And am I of so little account as not to be warned of this?
Alas, Excellency, if I have forgot the respect due to your high office, let my zeal plead my excuse. In your charge we leave this miserable one until the Holy Church shall require him of you.
And Father Alexo bowed in humble fashion as Don Federico led me away. Through the soft night air we went until we reached a noble chamber. And yet, even as we went, I had the uneasy feeling that our passage was marked by many eyes. When a door finally closed behind us, Don Federico did not speak at first, but remained still, listening intently.
Alas, Don Martino, my friend, death grips all about you here. The spies of Father Alexo Valdez are everywhere. I must get you safe away. But how?
Nay, Don Federico, never trouble.
Trouble? You think I count that? My life is yours, Don Martino.
I know that, sir, but I am here of my own will. All I would ask is that you should see that I am fettered alongside Sir Richard Brandon.
Alas, it is out of my jurisdiction. When you go from hence, you pass from the eye of man. And yet, maybe something might be contrived. But for now, you must eat.
And while I ate and drank, Don Federico told me of Adam Penfeather, and also of my lady, and how she had cared for him in his sickness. He told me how they had been attacked by a great ship, and having beaten off this vessel, was so much further shattered that 'twas wonder they kept afloat. Nonetheless, Adam had contrived to stand in near to Nombre de Dios, and thus set him safely ashore.
Your Excellency, we have come for the prisoner.
Don Martino, I have to say farewell. God go with you.
And once again I was dragged away, this time down stone stairs and along echoing passages.
A pause for fetters to be locked on my wrists, and then a sudden rattle of an iron door, and in front of me, a dank dungeon lost in the gloom.
Oh, so young, so young. What do you among the living dead, young sir?
And before me, in the half-light, I saw a shrunken, pallid face, and above it, the gleam of snow-white hair.
I come seeking Sir Richard Brandon.
At last. Oh, God, at last.
What mean you?
That I am Sir Richard Brandon.
Liar! Damned liar!
And yet, looking at the shriveled form who crouched before me on his knees, I knew that he spoke the truth. No proud and masterful enemy, this. God had given me my vengeance at last. This poor, pale shadow.
Tell me, I pray, how did you know my unhappy name?
Because I am son to the man you foully murdered by false accusation. I am Martin Connersby, Lord Wendover of Sheen, and the last of my line.
What do you hear, my lord?
Seeking my just vengeance.
The vengeance of a Connersby.
6 years ago, I broke from the hell of slavery you sold me into, and ever since have sought you with intent to end the feud once and forever.
The feud? Aye, we have shed each other's blood for generations. When your grandfather fought and slew my grandfather on the highway beyond Lumberhurst Village, I, kissing the wound his rapier made, vowed to end the Connersbys forever, and came nigh to doing it. God forgive me. And so does one sin beget another, and so, here in the gloom of this dungeon, I yield myself to your vengeance, my lord. Here is my throat. Wrap your fetter chain around it.
Have done! Have done, leave me alone.
Oh, come, boy. Come, you have sought me these many years, and God has at last given you vengeance. So why not take it?
Because he I sought was strong, masterful, and arrogant.
But this body of mine, though sorely changed, is yet the same, and I can die as well now as 6 years ago.
But I would speak with him no more, and after a while he lay down in his corner, and I lay in mine. But sleep would not come that night, for it seemed as though all emotions and desires were gone out of me. And so at last came morning, and moved by a strange impulse, I arose and came softly to look on him as he lay asleep, and thus, beneath his rags, I saw many grievous scars of wounds old and new, marks of the hot iron, the searing steel, and the cruel lash. And in the swollen and inflamed joints, I read the oft-repeated torture of the rack. And yet, in these features, made gaunt and haggard by suffering, was a serene patience and nobility wholly unfamiliar.
Ah, my lord, is the hour of your vengeance at hand? Why then, I am ready.
But even as he spoke, I knew that the vengeance I had dreamed of and cherished so dearly was but a dream, a fire that had burned away, leaving naught but dust and ashes. And remembering all the wasted years, I groaned and turned my face to the wall. But in my sleep, voices came to me.
Most miserable man, forswear now the error of thy beliefs.
And I started up, to find a dazzling beam holding me across the dark dungeon.
In this dead hour of night, when all do sleep save the God whom thou blasphemest and holy church, thou shalt be brought to the question...
Hold, damned churchman. You shall not have this man. And I call upon you, Father Alexo Valdez, and your evil fiends to witness that I, Richard Brandon, do now and forever renounce the oath you wrung from my coward flesh by your devilish tortures. Do to my body what you will. but my soul belongs to God, and not to the Church of Rome.
Take him instead! No!
Oh, God of pity, aid me. Help me to endure. Help me to be faithful to the end.
It was many hours later that the dungeon door was flung open and a twisted heap of blood-stained rags was dropped at my feet.
Glory and thanks to God, I endured.
Come, let me bathe those wounds a little. I fear I cannot but hurt you.
Martin Carnesby, am I not your enemy?
Indeed you are.
That is no shame, to pity your enemy, but to cherish those that hate you is what God would have us do. I was a proud man and merciless, but I have learned much by suffering, and for the wrongs I did you, I have bitterly repented. So would I humbly sue forgiveness of you.
Nay, this is impossible.
As you say, Martin.
And he turned his face to the wall, while I sat thinking of all that had passed and the hopelessness of our position, and I knew myself to be afraid. And yet my enemy seemed serene and placid, and at the gentle patience of him I would cover my face for shame. And so time passed, until one night.
Brandon! Will ye sleep, man, and I in torment? Wake and tell me if we must die soon.
Comfort ye, Martin. God shall give you strength.
God sent death tonight. And while I am yet the man I am, know this. I that lived for vengeance do denounce it as I die. I came hither seeking an enemy, and find in his place a man ennobled by his sufferings and greater than myself. So, as long as life remains to us, Sir Richard, do I seek your friendship.
Martin. Oh, Martin. Thus does the feud between Carnesby and Brandon come to an end.
The days dragged slowly past, but one evening I saw a hand appear between the bars of our grating and let fall a package. I found it to be Adam's chart, which had been taken from me, wrapped around a key and a small knife, and on the back was written,
"A key to your fetters, a knife to your release. Once free of your dungeon, take every passage bearing left to reach the postern."
That evening at sunset, our door was flung open and a hooded figure appeared and beckoned to Sir Richard.
Is it me you seek? Then I am ready.
He'll trouble us no more. Now come.
Hey, Martin, go alone. What? I will only hamper you.
But I would not heed him, yet remembering how lame he was, I picked him up over my shoulder and stumbled out into the passage. At length, we reached the postern, and in the shadows by the gate, a muffled figure.
Signor Martino, there's no time to waste.
We have much to thank you for, Don Federigo.
It is nothing. You saved my life. Now I have saved yours. Follow this path down to the river, and you will find a boat. There are muskets in it. And I brought you my own sword. But hurry. It cannot be long before the alarm is raised. Now, be gone.
So I clasped this good man's hand, and we made our way to the boat. We pushed off into the stream and let the current carry us towards the sea. And thus we began our journey.
Oh, friend, to feel the wind in my face and to smell the sea. Ah, oh, 'tis a wondrous world you have given back to me.
Despite what was to follow, our journey began with so much promise, our little boat running before the wind and the world before us.
But I greatly fear that I will become an encumbrance to you.
Nay, sir, never think it. It is my earnest hope to bring you to the loving care of one who has sought you long and patiently.
Ah? Mean you my daughter Joan? Oh, is she in these latitudes?
Even so, sir. For you she has braved 1,000 horrors and evils.
And I told him much of my story, and thereby much, too, of his daughter.
Ah, I was a proud, harsh man of old. But where might we hope to find her, Martin?
And so I told him of Adam's chart and the place appointed for our meeting, and we judged we had some 80 leagues to sail. But our journey was not to be so simple. First came the Spanish ship, looming out of the fog with muskets flashing along her side. We fired back, but were outnumbered. I put the boat about and ran for the shore. But strive as I might, I could not hold the course, and suddenly we struck a rock, throwing us both overboard. Bruised and half-drowned, I stumbled ashore to find Sir Richard on his knees ahead of me, but no sign of the boat or our stores.
Truly we are in the evil case, Martin. This land of Darien is very mountainous and ill-traveling, as I remember.
And yet we must adventure it.
No, you must, Martin. I will bide here, for you are strong, but I am a cripple.
And what of Joan?
Martin, 'tis for her sake that I will not hamper you with my useless body.
So 'tis for her sake that I will not leave you here to perish.
Ah, then here's an end to reason.
And the start of a journey. Let us begin.
And begin we did. Behind us lay the blue ocean, but our way lay inland over the peninsula to the Gulf of Darien, through a vast wilderness of swamp and trackless forest.
Wherein lies fever, Martin, so we must brave the mountains and travel by the higher levels.
The which we did, though the climb severely taxed my companion. But he never complained, and as the days passed and I watched what little strength he had pass from him, I could but marvel at his determination. Once we stumbled onto a party of Spaniards, and it was only the advantage of surprise that enabled us to kill them before they killed us. But now at least we had food and muskets, and Sir Richard, to his great delight and my puzzlement, found quill and parchment and made frequent use of them. On the fifth day, I looked behind and saw no sign of Sir Richard. So I retraced my steps and finally found him face down in the dust.
Oh, Martin, leave me. I can crawl no faster. Better I were dead than hamper you thus.
Rather will I perish.
And lifting him in my arms, I set him in the shade of a tree, and there we rested till the heat had gone from the sun, and then we set off again. That evening came the first of the many violent storms we were to endure, and as we sat huddled neath the trees to escape the fury of nature, our talk turned once again to my lady.
Martin, do you love her?
Aye, I do, mightily.
And she you?
God grant it.
Here were a noble ending to the feud, Martin.
Sir, 'tis ended already, once and for all.
Aye, but all my days have I... have I yearned for a son?
Then, sir, you shall lack no longer.
At this he fell silent, but his trembling hand stole down to touch mine lightly, as in blessing. And so we marched on. To our right were great mountains soaring aloft to the cloudless heavens where blazed a pitiless sun. The agony of thirst tormented us.
Martin! I can go no further. Leave me, my son. 'Tis better I should die here.
Never.
But at that moment, when death seemed so near, I heard the lazy flap of wings, and looking up saw a huge flock of birds descending in front of us. And knowing what they did there, I took heart, and lifting Sir Richard again, I struggled forward towards the rocks ahead. And there, in a little cleft, was a small pool fed by a spring that bubbled up amongst the rocks.
Water!
blessed water. Oh, thank God.
And when we had drunk our fill, we lay down and fell into a most blessed slumber.
Keep down, Martin. There are Indians out there and some Spaniards, too. There's one less to worry us.
And the rest flee, fearful of our muskets.
It was vastly unwise to fall asleep beside water in so thirsty a country. 'Tis a well-known place and much frequented, I don't doubt.
I will fill our water bottles, and then wisdom suggests retreat.
I heartily agree. War is a hateful thing, Martin, even for he who wins. Oh, but see that poor soul lying there.
And he showed me a Spaniard who, lying wounded before a rock, writhed and burned in the merciless heat and wailed feebly for water.
Now that we have naught to fear, Martin, I think it would be commendable to give a drink to a dying man.
Most true, sir, but 'tis not worth the risk. Come, let us be gone before our assailants return.
And I began gathering our various possessions together. When I was ready, I turned to see Sir Richard bending over the wounded Spaniard, his water bottle in his hand. But even as I spied him, the Spaniard's pistol roared, and I ran like a madman, but too late. My knife took the Spaniard in the throat, and then I was holding Sir Richard's body in my arms. But my hands were stained red where I touched him.
Oh, Martin, 'tis come at last. My journeying is done.
Drink some water. Here.
Martin, because I knew that I must die here in Darien, I wrote a letter. 'Tis in my bosom. Give it to Joan when you are reunited.
I will.
Now, hold me up, lad. My love go with you all the way. You and her. Yes. Into thy hands, O Lord.
And thus died my enemy, like the brave and noble gentleman he was, his head pillowed upon my bosom. And so at dawn I bore him down the gorge, and coming upon a quiet spot beneath the trees, I laid him to his last rest. Then, placing his letter in my bosom, I turned away and set forth in my loneliness. Three days later, tired in body and even more weary in mind, I reached the top of a wooded bluff, and there, all glorious with the blaze of sunset, lay the ocean at last. All next day I followed the coast, looking for the bay marked on Adam's chart. Then suddenly I saw it in the distance, and I began to shiver, for though my journey was near its end, yet I knew not what awaited me.
Oh, Martin, you that love does make a coward, be comforted and of good courage, for your happiness is hers and mine, yes.
So at last I came to where I could look down into the narrow bay, and there below me was a ship. But when I looked again, I could see that her topmasts were gone, and I knew this fire-blackened, shattered wreck would never sail again. I scrambled down into the cove, and looking up the hulk, could just see the name Deliverance scorched by fire, and knew her indeed for Adam's ship. And now a great sickness took me, and I sank upon the sand. But then I heard a sound, and lifting my head, beheld a youth who stood on the deck above me, one hand on the backstay, the other holding a pistol leveled down at me.
Shoot! Death has taken from me all I loved. Shoot, I pray you!
Oh, dear, kind God!
It's
Martin!
Joan! Damaris! Beloved!
Then I was on my feet and heaving myself up the ship's side to clasp this lovely, trembling youth in my hungry arms.
Such a great, fierce, wild man!
Joan! Oh, Joan, beloved!
We have been parted so cruelly, so often.
But never again, my heart.
You are beautiful beyond all women, and I am uncouth, slow-witted, and dressed in sorry rags.
Oh, my dearest heart, what do these matter? You are Martin Connersby that I have loved, do love, and shall love always and ever.
But how came you alone? What of Adam and the rest?
When Adam marched away, I stayed to wait for you.
For me?
Yes, Martin.
Were you not afraid?
Often. But you are come at last, so my fears are all past and done. But more than the loneliness, I feared lest you should come and find this poor ship all deserted and lose hope.
But where has Adam gone? I learned from Don Federigo that you had fought another great battle, and indeed I can see the evidence all around me.
It was dreadful, Martin. It was only by the most marvelous seamanship that we managed to reach this refuge.
The enemy's shot has widened our leaks, Captain. The water's gaining on the pumps. We're sinking.
How long will she last?
An hour, Captain. Maybe less.
Well, sir, keep the pumps going and we'll be ashore within the hour.
It was a close thing, Martin. The Spanish guns were still blazing, and Adam took the helm and shouted to let fly the braces, and with our sails all a-shivering, we ran aground, just as she lies now. The Spaniards put a party ashore to try and take us, but we sat on the cliffs and shot so many of them that in time they gave up. So back we came to examine our poor ship. Then Adam summoned the men to a council on the beach.
Look now, comrades. We have fought the ship as long as we may and have driven ashore in a hostile country. Shall we despair? No. We are Englishmen. 132 Englishmen. We have been smitten, so we will smite back where the enemy least expected. We will march overland to Cartagena, fall on them in the dead of night, spike their guns, and take one of their ships.
So, Martin, they set out for Cartagena. And I stayed behind to wait for you, beloved.
At this, I clasped her to me again, and thus much time sped by. Then she fell to preparing supper, while I contrived to trim my beard somewhat, though only succeeded in trimming myself. And then at last, supper being over, my lady questions me.
Dear Martin, what of my father?
Why, first, he is dead.
Yes. Yes, I guess.
He died nobly, like the brave gentleman he was. I buried him in the wilderness, where flowers bloomed, 3 days' march back.
In the wilderness? But he was in prison.
Aye. It was there I found him. But we escaped by the unselfish bravery of Don Federigo. So together we set out to find you.
Together, Martin?
Yes, and he very cheery, despite his sufferings.
You mean they tortured him?
Aye. Yet, despite their devilish cruelties, he rose triumphant above agony of body, thereby winning to a great and noble manhood. Wherefore I loved and honored him beyond all men.
He was your enemy.
He was my friend that comforted me when I was greatly afraid. He was my companion amidst the perils of our cruel journey.
Oh, Martin! Oh, man that I love! You that learned to love your enemy!
Nay, my Tamaris, 'twas he that taught me how to love him. 'Twas himself slew my hatred. And then, bethinking me of his letter at last, I gave it to her. But instead of reading it, she put it in her pocket.
Come. 'Tis nearly dawn, and you are weary with your journey. 'Tis time you were abed.
She brought me into Adam's cabin on the broken ship and showed me his bed, and I was soon asleep in the unusual comfort of soft sheets. But then I was woken by the clasp of her soft arms and her tears on my cheek.
Oh, Martin, I love you more than I had guessed, because you are greater than I dreamed. My father's letter has told me much of you. Your goodness to your enemy. How you carried him in your arms. It is so noble a tale that I must come and tell you. I love you.
The next morning, while we ate, my lady suddenly said,
What of Joanna, Martin?
She too is dead. and I described how bravely Joanna had met her death, standing, her arms outstretched to the infinite.
And is this all?
Yes, that is all.
Yet you do not tell me of the great wrong she did you, and me. You do not say she lied of you.
She is dead, and very nobly, I do think.
Read this. I found it after you had fled the ship.
I lied about him, and 'twas a notable lie, notably spoke. Martino is not like ordinary man, and so it is. I do most truly love him. Yes, for always. So do I take him for mine now. So, lie shall become truth, mayhap. Joanna.
Dear, it is like you to speak no harsh thing of the dead. And she gave you back to me with her life. So needs must I love her memory for this.
The sound of the cannon brought us both to our feet. Hand in hand, we made our way up on deck, and in the early light of dawn, we saw the lofty sails of some great ship rounding the headland.
Martin, look!
And as we watched, a flag lazily unfurled from the masthead, and we saw the cross of St. George. A boat was lowered, and as it pulled towards us, we saw Adam in the stern sheets, one hand on the tiller, the other bandaged against his side by a scarf. And thus it was, one-handed, that he scrambled up onto deck and stood before us, taking off his battered hat with a flourish.
Praise God! I do see again the two souls who must be the most unruly in all the world, and yet the two I would far sooner see than any of us.
And you, Adam! You march on a hopeless venture, and death must have been very close to you, and yet here you are back with us.
And what of you, my lady willfulness, insisting on biding here alone, and all for the sake of this hare-brained, most obstinate comrade of mine? Oh, Lord love you, Martin.
And we clasped hands as though we would never part. And so our reunion was most joyous. But after a while, when my lady was gone below, Adam turned his sharp eyes on me.
And how goes your vengeance nowadays, comrade? What of Sir Richard, your enemy?
Dead, Adam.
Aha. Uh-huh. Was it steel, or did you shoot him?
God forgive you for saying such a thing.
Aha. Uh-huh. Do you regret his death, then, Martin?
Aye, I do, from my heart.
Martin, my friend, my brother, you that talked bloody murder and hellfire with a heart inside you as gentle as a child's.
And now here comes your lady, as peerless a maid as ever blessed man's sight. So come, friend, I will take you aboard the prize, and hey for England.
And so that night at moonrise, we warped out from our anchorage, and with drums beating, stood out to sea. And as I walked on the deck, my lady comes to me, dressed in a gown I thought marvelous becoming.
Dear Martin, what see you yonder in the distance?
Yourself, Damaris. You fill my world.
To be sure, my lord, but what more?
I want no more.
Nay, but look, I see happiness, fortune, honours, and mayhap, if God is kind to us.
What, my Jo?
Oh, Martin, dear, cannot you guess?
Nay, beloved, don't leave me so soon.
I must, Martin, dear. You've been wanting to speak with Adam.
Not I, Lord, no.
Why, then, you shall...
Joan! And suddenly, even I, fool that I am, understood what she meant.
Well, now, Martin, what's to do?
Marry us, Adam. Marry us, man.
What, have you just thought on it, Martin?
Aye, that I have.
Tushed! It was all arranged by my lady and me hours ago. Come inside.
And thus, upon the high seas, Adam, being both captain and magistrate, married us forthwith. And because I had no other, I wed my Damaris with my signet ring. Later that night, we walked on the quarterdeck with Adam.
You have come by rough seas and a mighty roundabout course to your happiness.
Aye. There are some who never make this blessed haven all their days.
True. Martin,
I am a mighty rich man. Yet for all this, I shall be something solitary, I guess.
Never in this world, Adam, so long as my dear lady...
Your wife! It is a sweet word.
Aye, my wife. But am I not your sworn brother, Adam? So like brothers, we will live together in England, and friends always. And we clasped hands as brothers do, as the Spanish main dipped below the horizon, and we headed for England, for home.
In Martin Conisbee's Vengeance by Geoffrey Farnell, Stephen Facey played Martin Conisbee, Julia Swift, Joan Brandon, Sean Barrett, Adam Penfeather, John Moffat, Richard Brandon, and Cyril Jenkins, Joanna. Don Federigo was played by Nigel Anthony, Resolution Day, John Baddeley, Belvedere, John Church, Valdez, David Holt, Dickham, David Thorpe, and Job, Philip Anthony. Technical presentation was by Wilfredo Acosta, assisted by Alison Carter and Colin Guthrie. Martin Conisbee's Vengeance was dramatized for radio by Michael Bartlett and directed by Glyn Dearman.